Back Twin Cities. Tom Osmond here on another beautiful Saturday afternoon, which means, Kyle, we're going to be cursed. It's going to be a bad cold winter. This fall is way too nice. And the nicer the weather is, the longer it takes for me to get a parking spot. But today is a record because I actually got here after the guest did. The last three Saturdays we've been waiting for our guest, but our guest today, Hub Meads, he came before I did today. So welcome to Flashback Twin Cities. And if you don't know who Hub is, you're going to know him quite well after the next hour. Hub was the Vikings mascot for 22 years.
Right.
And I was watching Care 11 a couple weeks ago, and this story came up. I want to play this audio. This is why we have Mr. Meads with us today. So, Kyle, if you want to get this ready here, we're going to play some audio here.
Contract rift between the Vikings and Ragnar.
The man who revved up Viking fans reportedly wanted a big boost in pay, more than what the average mascot reportedly makes. Lou Ragoose has the story.
All put away.
In the White Bear Lake garage belonging to Hub Meads is a box.
Arm guards.
Containing the original Minnesota Vikings mascot costume. From 1970 to 1992, Hub was the Minnesota Viking.
Been fun for the years.
Traveling with the team and pumping up the crowd at three Super Bowls. And he did it for little to no pay.
I felt that it wasn't right for to try to negotiate a big contract or anything. They wanted to offer me money, then I took it. But otherwise, I felt I'm doing a service to fans mostly.
Hub says for the final 9 years of his service, he made about $3,000 a season. His successor, Joe Jurnich, better known as Ragnar, reportedly made $1,500 per home game. Ragnar's now off the job after a contract holdout. A source told Associated Press reporter John Krasinski that Ragnar was...
There we go, Mr. Meads. So we were talking about before the show started, and you were not... I'm going to be full disclosure. You're not Scandinavian.
No. Nope.
You're not a true Viking.
No. Nope.
You have a lovely wife outside. We're talking to you just a little bit ago. So you're not pillaging villages and taking women away.
No.
How does a nice, mild-mannered guy like you get involved to become the Viking?
Well, I think when you're at a game, you get kind of wild. And then that comes out of me at a football game.
So you're at a Vikings game, and you took it upon yourself to get the crowd a little bit revved up. This is when you're just wearing a sweatshirt, right? You're not wearing the Viking gear.
Yep, in the stands.
So how did this happen from you're a very passionate fan to somewhere along the line, someone saw you, and you're in a Viking costume now, and you're traveling with the team. Tell me a little about how this happened.
Well, it actually started at the first Super Bowl. My brother-in-law bought tickets for the game, which was $15 a piece. We got down to New Orleans and had these crummy costumes on that my brother-in-law rented. And a guy opens up the gate, lets us in. We didn't use our tickets. We get down by the field. The guy opens that gate up, and we're on the field. And for the whole game, we're on the sidelines watching the game, following the plays around. Nobody said a word. So we're so excited about it afterwards that I wrote a letter to Vikings and asked if I could do it at the home games. And they said yes. So I had to start getting my own costume and making up a shield and a sword and a hat.
Because the Vikings at this time, they had no mascot. They had some cheerleaders, I assume. But they didn't have off-field entertainment. They didn't have any sideline entertainment.
No.
Had you ever done performing? Had you ever done anything in front of a crowd? Or was this some... Does the spirit of football just bring out some energy in you that gives some bravery that you may not have had before?
It comes out of you. No, I never did anything before that.
No, I would imagine. Now, and this is not an accusation. Imagine sometimes there might have been a few hams maybe consumed once in a while on the field, and then that gives a little bit of energy. But
yes,
you wrote a letter to the Vikings, and they said sure, come on down, bring your costume up. We want to have you on the field.
They didn't even see the costume that I had to start with. They just sent me sideline passes, and that was it. So I got into the parking lot and used the pass to get in and started from there.
Did you think it was going to be a one-time thing? Did you have any idea this was going to become a ongoing gig?
No, no idea at all. Just see how it worked out. It took a while, but it after doing a few cheers with the fans, they went along with it. So it worked out good.
So you go out there for this first game now. You did your Super Bowl event. You're at the costume. You're on the field. Well, first of all, $15 for a Super Bowl ticket. That in itself is amazing to be able to get for a Super Bowl. So you aren't just a Fairweather Vikings fan. You're a Vikings fan. Right. You're wearing purple today. So that's
right.
That's great. You go down there. You're doing this. You write a letter. They actually must have read it because right now I think you write a letter to the Vikings. You wouldn't even get it. You write a letter. You go out there. And the crowd must have picked up on it. The crowd must have really liked it. They were following you along. And were you winging it, or did you prepare in your mind what you were going to do when you got there?
Yeah, at first I was pretty much winging it, just trying to get the fans going, throwing your arms up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But then I start thinking that, like the colleges do, they spell out the team's name. So I finally got some shields made up with spells out Vikings. And we carry those in and put them down, and the cheerleaders pick them up.
Mm.
And then I go along to each letter and get the people to V-I-K-I-N-D. And it worked very well. So that was part of it.
Your costume, I assume, got better and better because I assume
you got
a little some more ideas.
Right.
And
yep.
your sword and shield must have got a little bit better. So let's kind of go back there. So you do that first Super Bowl. Now we're in the early 70s, and you're still at Met Stadium doing these home games. Well, then this became a regular gig. Where did it come from doing a one-time event to also that you're there every game, home game, and there you are, there's Hub?
I don't know. I just kept working along.
Kept showing up,
yep.
Showing up.
But they gave me the tickets for each game then after that.
So your compensation was a free ticket to the game. I assume parking, being able to be there.
They didn't give me the parking pass right away, but I'd pull up to the gate to go in, and the guy would wave me in a costume. So I didn't have to pay for parking. And then they didn't give me seats either at first. I think the second year they finally gave me two seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that every player and everybody in the office gets two tickets, and that's it. You buy the rest yourself. So that worked out that way.
So you must have been getting to know the players and coaches pretty well at this point, because you're on the field and you're meeting some of these legends. And by the way, I mean, we have a generation right now that's never seen Vikings in a Super Bowl. But the Viking team you were hanging out with, they were going to a Super Bowl every other year.
They were, yes. The first couple of years, I don't think I hung around any players. But once I got on a trip with them out of town, then you get to get autographs and talk to them. And so that was really great.
And you guys were taking the buses, too. You guys weren't on commercial jets at this point.
Oh, yeah,
we
did.
Oh, you were? You were, okay.
They flew every place.
Oh, you were, okay.
And then bus from there to the field.
We had some, it's the anniversary of the Twins World Series, and at the 80s, the Twins were still riding around in coach buses to go in and out of these games. But the Vikings, they were superstars. You were going on the Jets, and you were with them. So you did some stellar games, some stellar seasons. You're going to the Super Bowls. At what point did you say, and I know that, you know, we watched the story, and you're not doing this for compensation, you're not doing this, but at what point did they say, you know what, we're going to give you a little bit of money to do what you're doing?
it took 15 years, and when Crazy George came in, they brought him in from California banging a drum, and the fans heard about this, that they paid him $1,000 to come in, and so they start complaining because I wasn't getting paid. So the Vikings started paying me a little bit.
Did money ever even come into it? I mean, you started doing this because you like the Vikings and you like to get people excited. Did it ever cross your mind that you needed to be compensated for doing this?
Oh, no. It was an honor to be there. I mean, just think about anybody else who would love to be out there and riding with the team. By the way, I only got one game a year out of town, but I got to pick that. So I picked either Florida or California. So that was really great.
That's fantastic. And you were part of the Vikings family. I mean, I'm guessing you were doing, and I don't know this, you're probably going to schools and doing other things once in a while, too. They probably were.
Right.
Did you, at what point did you think, wow, what did I get myself into? Now I got to wear this Viking costume, and you were talking before the show started, you had a regular guy job, you were working for supporting a family in White Bear, but then on weekends, you're the Viking. And I'm guessing you had some kids at that point that probably either really liked it or they were embarrassed.
Oh, no, they liked it. In fact, they said bring one on the field with me every time.
Oh, wow.
To carry these shields I had. So they had to each take their turn. I had five kids.
You know what? I'm guessing they were going to get to tell their friends, my dad's a Viking.
I don't know. They never seemed to say anything.
Well, that's great. So you did this gig, and then it just became every year. I mean, you probably didn't even have to, after a while, have to request. You were just there, and they told you when to
come.
Well,
they'd send the passes and the tickets ahead of time, so it was all set all the time.
Tell me about this ring. You have this ring on your hand here, and we were looking at this before the show started. This is, by the way, Hub Meads. He was the former Viking mascot for 22 years on the show today. This ring here, it's a Super Bowl ring.
Right.
From 1976.
Right.
Bud Grant gave that to you.
Right. Well, yes. He's the one who said I'll be up for it, yep.
So tell me about that ring. That's the...
It's a loser's ring, actually, but it was from the 1976 at the Rose Bowl. And we were playing the Oakland Raiders. But every team, both the winners and the losers, get a championship ring. So this is actually the NFL's half of they're both the NFL and the AFL were getting separate rings. So if you lost, you still won
the championship. NFL, yeah,
so
division.
So they all get rings, but.
It's a ring that people of this generation aren't going to have on their... We haven't been on a Super Bowl since 1977, so there's not going to be a lot of people wearing that kind of
70,
ring.
Yeah, 77.
Should be so lucky to have a loser's ring right now.
It is, yep.
So you did this. You went all the way from Met Stadium. You went to the Metrodome, and you saw a lot of changes in football since you started doing it. You saw it from, guys when you were mascotting were selling cars on the offseason, the Vikings. They weren't making tons of money. They weren't making millions.
No, they were working on the docks even.
Professional sports is a whole different thing, and I think that we were, again, talking before the show, $15 for a Super Bowl ticket, that was pretty good. Now I think you probably want to pay a couple hundred bucks, probably minimum, to get into a Super Bowl.
Yep.
But, all to this point, you didn't think that you should have been paid as much as players are being paid or as much as any of the other entertainment there.
No, I was just happy to be there.
And that's payment, for you.
Right. We actually got to go to Sweden for a week, both my wife and I, the whole team and the office and everybody. They took everybody over there. It was like a big family. And that was really great over there for a game.
And you also, you were telling me before the show started, you're not Scandinavian, but you got to go see a lot of Scandinavian events.
Right.
Now, did you ever wear the Viking costume every time you went to these events?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't dare go without. I'd say, who are you?
Well, I'm an honorary Scandinavian.
Good.
22 years of Vikings. You did it all the way through 1992. At what made you hang it up?
I don't know. Just felt I should quit. I don't know. I that's the same year I retired from driving trucks. So
okay,
I should do it both.
Take 7 days a week off. The story came to Bubble Rangar. He and we're not going to take him, exception to him, but Rangar was making, I think, $1,500 a game. He wanted $20,000 a game. The first thing that came to my mind was, well, he must have a really bad attorney working for him, because you think that you're going to go for a 200% raise. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And the second question that came up is, to me, well, should mascots be making that much money? And what is, do you expect people living at being a mascot? Looking, I think that originally people were very sympathetic to him, that he was not getting paid to do it. Looking at the facts and looking that he was getting paid a lot more than past mascots or even mascots at other cities, it comes a question, if he doesn't want to do it, I'm sure other people would do it.
Oh, yes. There's guys on the sidelines with better costumes than mine there that could be doing it.
And, all in all, I'm guessing that, you never went to the Vikings and said, I need to get paid way more money than I'm making.
Never
brought a lawyer in there.
No.
It's pretty amazing, because you brought a lot of joy to a lot of people for a lot of years, and did a lot of great things, and you were the face of the Vikings. We were looking before the show started, and you can't see it on the radio, but if you go to tcmedianow.com, I got a lot of Bud Grant shows, and I want to play a little audio here because I think this really gets a feel for what football season here in Minnesota.
It's the Bud Grant Show. With Minnesota Viking head coach Bud Grant and Channel 5 sports director Bob Bruce.
There you go. We got some video of you out there on tcmedia.com. You can see it anywhere around the world. When you see a video like that, does it make you feel like it was just yesterday? And
it does, yes. Yes, because I remember it all.
Tell me about any of the most memorable games you did. I mean, you were a lot of Vikings games, some of the highlights, the lowlights. Tell me about some of the memorable moments that you can recall.
Probably the Super Bowls,
mm-hmm.
because you can go to one end of the stadium getting cheers, you go to the other end of the game and get boos.
Yeah, because, you know, there's one. Raiders was 77, right? That was
76.
Okay. Those Oakland fans couldn't have been a very cheery, warm group when you went to the wrong end of the stadium.
Oh, that was really funny. I got there when everything was quiet on the field before the game, and I went over in front of them and just threw up my arms like, you know, here we are. And they start booing. So I took my horn and I stuck it in my ear like I couldn't hear them. And then I started doing that again. And boy, did I get the boos. They know I'm there.
Did you ever feel you were ever in danger at any of these places? I mean, sometimes, and when we were talking, a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of liquid courage and some fans can make a lot of smart alecks.
Actually, the first game I went to out of town was in New York, and they were working on Yankee Stadium,
mm-hmm.
and so they had the game up at New Haven, Connecticut, at I think it was Yale Bowl, and it was starting to snow, and boy, out comes the snowballs, and then mm-hmm. pretty soon there's bottles, and I had my shield, of course, so I could protect myself, and I see it coming, but after the game, everybody was all over the field. Somebody grabbed my helmet. And lucky when the players seen him and grabbed it away from him, so I made it out there safely.
That's you take football, you take passion, you take alcohol, you're gonna get some smashed. Yeah. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You went to three Super Bowls, and you had traveled to these great places. You went to some great Super Bowl parties, I'm assuming. And
right.
when you had the helmet off, was it tough? Would you have to say, you know who I am? I'm the Viking. And because without your helmet, you're...
Well, I had a big beard then.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah. I actually went to four Super Bowls. The first one was a free one, and then the next three were with the Vikings.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a long time. When they go to the Super Bowl again, I hope they bring you with them, and I hope that you bring the helmet out of retirement. Mm-hmm. When you hung it up, did they try to get you to stay? Did they say, is it money? Is it, you know, what can we give you to stay? Or were they okay with that?
They didn't say anything. But the next year, they're playing the Packers, and they asked me to come in again. So I did.
We are the home of the Packers here at KLEB, but we have we probably have as many Vikings fans as we do Packers here at KLEB.
Right.
And have you done Vikings games since then? Maybe not so much in the costume, but if you come back and do you ever get a phone call? Look, we know you're the costume still. Can you come back and you do this for us? And
there's been quite a few things they've done. They've had they brought in this. Victor, I don't know if you've seen him. It's
yes.
With the head on. So they brought me back for that. They brought me back when they brought in a new horn. And they brought me back for the 50th
mm-hmm.
reunion.
The Ring of Honor.
Yeah. And then they asked me to come back when they closed the dome. So I got dressed up quite a few times.
That's great. So you haven't really retired. You're just retired from your regular
right.
games.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't ever retire.
Yeah.
Kyle, I just want to play a little more audio here. I want to ask about some great games. And this is a game that you'll probably remember fondly or sadly. This is the last game at stadium. This is some audio and video that was from that final game. And it got a little wild. Let's play some here.
Tomorrow night. Back to yesterday at the Met for a moment. It got hectic at the end of the game as I had decided the field was the place to be, fully knowing the fans would storm the field. This should give you an idea of how hectic it became.
The final football game, the final kind of game anywhere.
Minnesota!
Ever played.
Beautiful!
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
It's a shame they couldn't have won, but it really just didn't work out today. They lost to Kansas City. Got some help here today. The goalposts are gone. The fans are on the field. We had a chance while the game was going on, though, to talk with some people. Some who've been here from the very beginning in 1961 with the Vikings. And some who've had a lot to do. So let's go and hear what some of them have to say.
That was a fun day.
It was.
Remember that one?
I do. And I got out of there.
You got out of there quick.
I would have lost half my costume.
Yeah, don't blame me. Everything was being, seats were being picked up.
Anything they could find for a souvenir.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back with Hub Meads. He is our guest today. He was the former Vikings mascot from 1972 to 1992. We'll come back on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB.
Are you predictable? When was the last time you surprised someone with something totally unexpected? At ProFlowers, we think predictability is boring. So we're making it easy for you to be unpredictable by offering our best-selling 100 blooms for just $19.99. Plus, we're giving away a free glass vase with every order. But hurry, because this incredible deal ends this Friday. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the blue radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5353. That's ProFlowers.com, secret code 5353.
This is Bill Scott. Get all the latest news about the Green Bay Packers each week on Club 1220 KLBB. Join me for the Titletown Report, weekdays at 8:15 and 4:15 on the Twin Cities home for Packers football. Club 1220 KLBB.
Gonna build a mountain.
This week before the Packers take on the Chargers, join me, Tom Fierst, for Ensure Your Success. My special guest is NFL Ironman Jim Marshall. The Viking great will share his insight on how being mentally tough helped him start 270 consecutive games. That's Ensure Your Success with special guest Jim Marshall, Sunday, 12:30, on your Packers station, Club 1220 KLBB.
I'm Bonnie Bakke from Edward Jones Investments in Stillwater. I help clients plan a smooth transition from retirement investing to retirement income. Call 651-439-9062. Hear my market closing report weekday afternoons at 4:30 on KLBB.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Hosman with Hub Meads, the former Vikings mascot. I wouldn't call you former because you're still doing it occasionally. You're still getting up from that. We're talking a little bit about, you survived, probably about three eras of Vikings football, the Bud Grant era, the Jerry Burns era. We won't even call it the Les Steckel era, but then you were there for the first year of Denny Green, right? Those are some very different times of football. And I think that one of the problems people have with pro sports right now is it's all about money. The game has been diluted. It's about big stadiums, big money. We were talking a little bit off air, Bud Grant, Mark McMahon football, head coach of Minnesota Vikings a couple times. It was a very different football world. I mean, people were getting paid a lot less. The idea that, mascots or anything else would be paid even remotely as much as players, that wouldn't be heard of, and players weren't making that much money either.
Right.
So it's just very interesting that you were able to survive all those different eras of football, survive or be part of. Do you, in your years of a mascot, what was the best part of it? Was the Super Bowl era the best part of doing that?
It was really great for the going to the Super Bowls because we had all the parties and you get to be with a lot of players even then at that time.
So you did get to know the players after a while for being on the on the part of it for a while.
Yeah. And then to go to warm weather from Minnesota, to go where they'd have the games was always warm weather. So it was a vacation for me.
A lot of people talk about the era when that stadium was closed to the dome. As a mascot, did you enjoy being in warm weather, like a warm climate-controlled building for those home games, or did you miss the outdoors?
I really liked it outside. I didn't think I'd like it inside. How we got going, but then I It was really nice being inside.
So there were some positives to being in a dome.
Very much, yep. And for the fans.
Yeah, I think that, we're in TCF Stadium right now. I think that we're going to experience probably this year some of these. You know, we haven't experienced cold weather Vikings games in a long time. I think that people are going to be happy that we're going to go to this glass.
Oh, I'm sure
this glass
will,
dome next year.
Yep.
But also, if you think about it, and I'm going to put you with this group, the Vikings of the 70s and 80s, the early 80s, and the mascots, you guys were some hardy group. You weren't wearing a parka out there. You were just out there with your...
No long underwear.
No long underwear. You must have developed a pretty thick skin to be able to do that, and a lot of, for all those cold days.
Well, my job, driving truck, I did a lot outside, too, unloading and things, so I was used to the cold pretty much. Yep.
So you come to this with the strength of the Viking. You were lifting crates and you were driving trucks. So you were built for this job.
I was a husky.
you didn't come to this. Do we know what was Rangar's trade before he became a mascot? Do we know?
I'm not sure.
I
heard he came from up north.
I still think if Hub and Rangar ever have to have a duel, I think that my money's on Hub here. You were born in Stillwater, you were telling me.
I was, yes.
Home of our station here, Stillwater, and you lived in Stillwater for 22 years. It's great that, you know, you're about as Minnesota as it gets. And to be the Viking and then be only a couple of people that we know of right now in the world that were a Viking, Minnesota Viking. Were you a Vikings fan from day one? Because we were a newer team.
We had to wean ourselves off of the Packers because we had the only Packers here before the Vikings started.
Mm-hmm.
So the first couple of years, I mean, you're still watching the Packers and trying to watch the Vikings. So it was a little rough.
But after a few years in an NFL championship, it was probably easy to be a Vikings fan.
Right, with Fran Tarkenton, you know, it was a lot different.
As the Viking, the original costume you have, the made-up one, retired to your really nice one, which you still have, and is that, when are they going to ask you to put that in the Minnesota Historical Society? When are you going to have that as part of an exhibit?
My sword and shield.
if you had to go back and do it again, let's say they said, look, Hub, we want you to come back and do a couple games, would you do it?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
And if you look at this guy, and we'll take a picture and put it online, this guy could do it, I think.
Thank you.
Tell me any other good memories you have of the Vikings. You know, I want to give you kind of a couple stories if you want to, you know, share some with us. You know, outside of the Super Bowl era, you were at the Dome for a long time. We didn't go to a lot of championships, but it's been NFC championships. But you know, any highlights in the last 10 years of being the Viking?
Well, I got to all the perks that the office had. Got to go to the Vikings Christmas parties and bring my family. So those kids just loved it. They were with all the players, and so that was one of the perks.
Did you have boys or girls?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. I think being with the fans and going around to tailgate parties and stuff, you know, that was to get to meet a lot of people, and they seemed to appreciate you going around and getting pictures taken with them. I think you're actually an ambassador when you do this job.
Right. You are the face. I mean, a lot of times the players were probably living somewhere in the other state all year round. You're here. You're living. You were in White Bear. And you gave a service. And I think that's just so fantastic that you never went in and asked for more money. It never dawned on you. And, you know, one can make the argument that, well, if players are making $1 million a week to do nothing, you know, why can't a mascot? But it's a different thing. I mean,
it is really, yeah.
Professional players, we don't do professional players from the state you're born in. You know, you're born in. We don't all, you know, Minnesotans aren't all from Minnesota. They are from mostly from, you know, Florida or Texas, take your pick.
Right.
But you're Minnesota, and you know, you're doing a job that a lot of people probably wanted to do. You got to do it. You show some courage.
Yep.
And, you know, I just think it's fantastic. And I'm guessing, again, you know, you mentioned this before, you did a lot of public service. You were doing a lot of events. And, you know, I hope that if anyone wants to get a hold of you, I hope they'll find you. And, you know, hopefully we'll see the Viking out again. Being one doesn't want to go out to the stadium, hopefully we'll see you out there sometime.
I'd like to try it again.
Got a new stadium coming up. I think you should give them a call. I think we should have you out there.
Well, not at my age, I better watch what I do.
49 and holding, come on.
Oh, no.
You say your age on the, are you okay saying your age on the?
81.
Okay. I
going on 82?
I was going to say 49.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, and thanks for being here today. And I hope that we have you on again sometime soon.
You're welcome.
Kyle Skabrick will come back here on Flash at Twin Cities on KLEV.
Family-owned and operated, it's the Sail Away Cafe and Bar, proudly serving the community of Afton with love. Stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's a special place you'll love. They open daily at 8 a.m., closing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 3. Otherwise, open into the evening, offering your Sail Away favorites. Espresso, wines, and beers to complement your meal. Live music each Friday and Saturday. Open mic on Thursdays. Complete information online. The Sail Away Cafe and Bar, Highway 95 in Afton. Gourmet foods made with love.
We aren't dealing with $4 a gallon gas prices these days, but that doesn't mean fuel economy isn't important. See River Valley Ford in Baldwin today and test drive any of our fuel-efficient cars. The Fiesta and Focus boast nearly 40 MPGs. The midsize Fusion has sporty good looks and impressive mileage and performance. And imagine getting nearly 500 miles on a single tank of gas in a full-size car. Stop imagining and check out the Ford Taurus. Shop, compare, and find out why so many of your friends and family choose River Valley Ford of Baldwin.
Club 1220 KLPB presents the Community Calendar. The American Red Cross is holding a blood drive today at Marcus Cinema in Oakdale. The Remember Project, a series of plays about dementia, continues Tuesday at 6:30 at Lakeview Hospital in Stillwater. It's a project of the St. Croix Valley Foundation. Go to scvfoundation.org for a listing of future performances. Christ Lutheran Church in Lake Elmo is hosting their annual roast pork and sauerkraut supper on Tuesday. You can buy tickets at the church. The St. Croix Animal Friends are holding a Halloween dinner dance tonight at the Hudson House. There will also be a silent auction and costume contest. Details are available at scafshelter.org. Learn about 4-H. Washington County 4-H will be having a 4-H open house next Saturday at the county fairgrounds in Lake Elmo. And that's the Community Calendar.
Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond. You know, Kyle, a very significant thing happened today in the happened this week in the world, and you might know this. McDonald's went to all-day breakfast. Now, this is... I clip stories all week to do on Flashback Twin Cities, and I think that this is an important piece we discuss here. I found the top five things you need to know about McDonald's all-day breakfast, and this is from Money Magazine, published on Tuesday. All right. So the world changed at 10:30 on Tuesday. For many years, McDonald's said that it was pretty much impossible to serve all-day breakfast. The thinking was that restaurants were too busy, kitchens were too small to handle breakfast orders on top of burgers and the rest of the menu. But after receiving tens of thousands of demands for all-day breakfast on social media and after finding itself in a fray of desperate situation in which sales have declined substantially, McDonald's has capitulated and the era of all-day breakfast kicks off this last Tuesday, October 6th. That means that around the nation, McDonald's customers can order breakfast items past the usual cutoff time of 10:30. Kyle, you know this. You're college days. You're trying to get up and you're trying to get there before 10:28 because when you get there at 10:29, you can't get breakfast. Don't tell me we haven't been here before.
Yeah.
This means around the nation, McDonald's customers can order breakfast items, enjoy McDonald's breakfast for lunch, brunch, dinner, and after a snack, and everything in between. Okay, now, here is the top five things you need to know. Only part of the breakfast menu is available all day. Because of the complications of adding breakfast to the menu alongside the rest of the usual afternoon options, McDonald's is limiting the kinds of breakfast items available for the entire day. All-day menu options vary by location. All right. No Egg McMuffins in the South. All right. The biggest controversy over McDonald's all-day breakfast is there's a sharp division of North and South. You know, we have this problem in culture now we have with Egg McMuffins. Maybe the Mason-Dixon line should be renamed the Biscuit Muffin line. Industry publication of Nation's Restaurant News has deadpanned. It was cited that Southern tastes prefer biscuits over McMuffins because it was too difficult for McDonald's restaurants to serve both all day. Locations had to go one way or the other. Big muffins rule most of the country, while the Southeast biscuit belt stretches through Appalachia and from Louisiana east through Georgia. Florida, however, has been declared McMuffin territory, presumably because the state is so full of transplants from other parts of the country. So, Kyle, when you go traveling out to Georgia or South Carolina next summer, just remember, no egg muffins at 3 in the afternoon. The move is an unusual crowd pleaser for McDonald's. The world's biggest fast food burger joint has become a magnet for haters over the years, with McDonald's serving as a high-profile punching bag for anyone who has a beef with obesity, poverty, nutrition, environmental issues, and beyond. So the fact that the switch to an all-day breakfast is generating McDonald's praise by the masses is a very big deal. This is the consumer's idea. This is what they want us to do, McDonald's president Michael Andres told the Wall Street Journal last month. That's what I think should be the catalyst for our turnaround. Ad Age noted that McDonald's new ad campaign highlights the idea that all-day breakfast was driven by consumer demands, people reading random tweets about the big change. I'm sure you did many of this week. Some McDonald's are offering freebies to celebrate. While there is no national promotion heralding the era of all-day breakfast, McDonald's in various parts of the country are hosting specials. On Monday, for instance, McDonald's Uber partnership was offering free delivery for McDonald's food to customers in the greater Miami area. Okay. So where, I would question myself, if I had it be either Uber to McDonald's or have Uber McDonald's delivered to my home, that I can't get into the car to go through a drive-through to have McDonald's flung through the window into my car, then I think we have some problems. But, hey, if they want to do it, go for it. On Wednesday, Colorado McDonald's are hosting a special PJ Day, in which customers who wear pajamas into restaurants will be rewarded with a free egg muffin. 5 a.m. to midnight offer T-shirts and shoes required, the promotion stipulates. Again, the McDonald's clientele, we want them to come in their PJs. While popular, all-day breakfast could backfire. McDonald's is somewhat in danger of cannibalizing sales with all-day breakfast, and because breakfast items are generally cheaper than burgers and sandwiches, profits could remain flat or even decrease. The lower check average of breakfast times doesn't drive margin as much as higher-priced items like premium burgers, executive president at Technonic told CBS News. Okay, now we know all about McDonald's all-day breakfast. Have you partaken?
I have not as of yet. I just found out about it yesterday.
So. Well, where have you been? And those who listen to Flashback Twin Cities now will know about this here, too. So I have tons of McDonald's commercials in the TC Media Now archive, and I want to play. This is a Breakfast McDonald's.
You're
very
not going to succeed.
Oops, what's that? Good. Quite yet. Sorry. We're not quite yet. But McDonald's breakfast was a novice idea. It was a Ray Kroc idea. Ray Kroc had went to a franchisee. They were showing him what they could do with some eggs, and it took a lot of convincing. He actually made Ray Kroc eat the egg muffin before he told them what his plan was. So let's, I'm going to pull this up here. Pull up a McDonald's breakfast commercial from 1975, and of course, the audio isn't working quite yet. One moment. You know, let's go to a song, shall we? We'll take a couple songs here, and we'll come back and do a couple McDonald's commercials. Let's go to some music here, and we'll come back on Flashback Twin Cities.
Thank you.
Thank you for the applause there, Kyle. Okay, I found this McDonald's commercial from 1976. This is McDonald's Breakfast Day, brand new concept at the time, and this is Ronald and friends telling us all about it.
Who's the McFriendliest fellow in town?
What a great morning!
Great, Ronald!
Great morning for tennis!
Okay, Grimace!
There are the tennis rackets!
Here you are, Dennis!
Thank you!
You'll never forget how to ride a bike!
That was fun! I think it's time for breakfast at McDonald's.
Now McDonald's has lots of things, like delicious hot cakes and sauces.
Hey, Mary McCheese, why the fancy outfit?
After breakfast, I'm going skin diving or skydiving. Something like that, you know.
That's the lone jogger.
He likes McDonald's breakfast, too.
Like delicious McDonald's hot cakes and sausage, you know. I hereby proclaim breakfast at participating McDonald's every weekend.
Yay! McDonald's. Well, there we go. And I actually found the article I was referencing before. This is the unlikely story of the Egg McMuffin, and then we'll be done with our McDonald's news of the day. But this is, I did find this interesting. Ray Kroc told his tale in the 1977 autobiography, Grinding It Out, The Making of McDonald's. Shortly after the sandwich was introduced, it started on a fateful 1972 trip to Southern California. Herb Peterson, who ran McDonald's in Santa Barbara, asked Kroc to come in and take a look at something. But no matter how much Kroc asked, Peterson wouldn't say what it was. He didn't want me to reject it. This is a quote from Ray Kroc, which I might have done because it was a crazy idea, a breakfast sandwich. It consisted of an egg that had been formed in a Teflon circle with a yolk broken. It was dressed with a slice of cheese and a slice of grilled Canadian bacon. This was served open-faced in a toasted and buttered English muffin. I boggled a bit at the presentation, but then I tasted it, and it was sold. Wow. Meanwhile, Patty Turner, the wife of a McDonald's executive, came up with the name that Kroc credited with putting the new menu over the top, Egg McMuffin, though Kroc would note that it took 3 years to get the Egg McMuffin completely integrated into the McDonald's system. By late 1973, Time magazine was already praising the sandwich, which went for 63 cents at the time, as an example of how chain pays close attention to suggestions from behind the counter. And again, the consumer was closely telling them to make breakfast all day long, so you can see McDonald's listens to its consumers and its franchisees. I do have some audio here closer to home. This is a commercial I found this year, and Kyle, ever been to an Embers? Or are you too young to do that?
I'm familiar with the name.
Embers was a Perkins-like kind of burger chain, local here in Minnesota, a lot of places. You would go to an Embers probably after an evening of spirits with friends, before you went home, kind of get things evened out. This is from 1971. Nancy Nelson is the talent in this. I post this at my Facebook page on TC Media Now, TC Media Now on Facebook. This got about 5,000 views, so I think that people remember this one. It aired for years. This is the Embers commercial.
You know, America's favorite food is good lean beef. That's one reason why Embers restaurants are so popular. The Embers buys the finest meats available. Nowhere, even the most expensive restaurants, can you enjoy better beef. The Embers broils their meat to your order. They don't fry it like others. Broiled meat tastes better, and it's better for you. The Embers guarantees you will be completely satisfied with the meat you order, or it will be cheerfully exchanged. For really good beef, reasonably priced, remember the Embers.
That commercial aired for many years. Nancy actually had that commercial, and she had mentioned to me when I showed this to her that they had wanted to play it again after some time. She said, "Well, you know, the hairstyles changed, so maybe not. But you can't argue with good lean beef." All right, one last story I want to tell before we wrap up here. I was just kind of going through the news feed here, some important stories, and this one. If you know, we've had a couple discussing Vikings today, and this picture popped up on the screen, and I thought it was a Viking. It's actually Randy Quaid. American actor Randy Quaid was taken into custody Friday night while trying to cross into the United States from Canada, Vermont police said. The Independence Day actor was detained by troopers at the Highgate Springs port of entry days after Canadian officials said he would be deported. Quaid is wanted in Santa Barbara to face felony vandalism charges filed in 2010 after he and his wife, Evie, were found squatting in a guest house they had previously owned. The picture of Randy Quaid on StarTribune.com, he looks like Santa Claus, except kind of a rough-looking Santa Claus. You remember Randy Quaid. He was in National Lampoon's Vacation as Uncle Eddie, and or cousin Eddie, and he was also in Independence Day. Apparently, Randy's on the move here, so if you see a crazy-looking man that was once in National Lampoon's Independence Day, you know, call your local authorities. You know, again, I thought it was a Viking story, but no, it's Randy Quaid. I think we'll wrap it up here. This is Flashback Twin Cities. Kyle will be back next Saturday for another great fall day. We will be here live here on KLBB Club 1220. We'll be right back.